and is doing in your life have not been clouded by the other stuff that's going on, the troubles and the difficulties and the challenges and maybe your failings and all that kind of stuff. Whatever may be under siege, may each one of us see, actually, God has got this. He's more than enough. It's more than enough. It's more than enough. We're going to use the same passages of scriptures that we did last week. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? So now you know why I take time to review. It's always good to be reminded. And I also want to say, I want us to operate in such a way where we are thinking about building each other up, where it's not about performance, it's not about you ought to be at a certain level, you ought to have done certain things, but rather we are simply building each other up, wanting to take hold of the precious treasure that is ours in Jesus and wanting each other to take hold of it. So when I ask you these questions, it's just a gentle reminder that there are things that we have to do. There are things that other people can help us with, of course. You know, we can always use a word of encouragement. We can always use a testimony or instruction, if you could put it that way. I don't mean that somebody stands up and teaches you as much as somebody shares, here's what I found out, and we can always use that. But nobody else can take the place of our own choosing, right? We each walk with the Lord. So you can't walk with the Lord for me, and I can't walk with the Lord for you, but I can come alongside you, and you can come alongside me, okay? And that's how I want us to operate, that we are members of a body, and we are called to build each other up, okay? So I just remind you, you do have a part to play in the unfolding of these things. Holy Spirit will not just all of a sudden take over you, and you have to choose to want to be filled with Him. Take a moment to shift out of the normal mind that we might be operating in into a, I need to be recharged with the thought. Actually, you're with me. Why am I afraid? You make things possible for me that I can't do. So why am I afraid that something is impossible? So these are the kinds of things. And if I could put it this way, I want my goal in whatever I'm allowed to do and whatever I can do, my goal is that when He comes back, when He finds us, He says, I found faith on the earth. Well done, good and faithful servants. That's what I'm after, okay? So we're talking about how to watch over your heart. I'm going to go back to Proverbs chapter 4, where we're instructed to do so, and then I want to again go to Ephesians chapter 6, okay? And we'll do the review that we need to do, and then we'll take another step forward in it. In Proverbs chapter 4, I'm going to jump right to verse 23. And we started in verse 20 last week, and I encourage you to go back and read it. Watch over your heart. Okay, he's talking to his son or his daughter, so he's talking to you. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Okay? We're jumping ahead to Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 10, okay, and remember, he's going to start with the word finally. Ephesians is a book worth immersing yourself in, okay? It's only 6 chapters, so you can take, 20 minutes to read the whole book once in a while and just be immersed with its message, because it's not just the verses which contain precious treasures, it's the overall message of the book that you also want to be immersed in and to be affected by. And he says, finally, so I remind you, he goes at the beginning of Ephesians, he just talks to us about what Jesus has done for us. Even before there's any mention of what you got to do, he talks about what Jesus has done. You know, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you are born again and you understand what that means, if you have a friendship with Jesus of any sort, I want you to say out loud and together with me, I am the blessed. I am the blessed. Not I will be, but I am already a blessed man or a blessed woman. I am the blessed because of what he did. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he just unfolds all the things that are ours, and he talks to us about the need of our hearts being enlightened so that we can actually be full of this, to know it. The Holy Spirit himself has come. You know, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he says in another place. But the point is, he says, I want you to not just, you know, these things are true about you, but they are true in your experience. I want you to know them. So I'm asking, I'm with thankfulness asking God to open the eyes of your heart. And he goes on to tell us about the fact that we were dead, but by grace we have been saved. You know, not of yourselves. Even the faith that you needed was a gift from God. And then he begins to say, so now in view of these things, here's how I want you to operate. And he talks about how we behave, right? And then he gets to this part where he says, finally, be strong in the Lord, in verse 10, and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then he goes on to talk about specific pieces of armor to describe all the different kinds of things that God is for you, right? He is your salvation. He is your righteousness. He is your strength. He is the one who makes you to be able to stand on your high places, as the psalmist says, right? He is the one who, it's his sword that is the sword of the Spirit. It is his sword, his word that is your sword, right? So all of these things are describing different provisions that God himself is. And I will say it again, and I hope that you will become a broken record about it. What your life really is about is this precious adventure to walk with the Lord and discover everything he is for you, right? The treasure of our lives is not the good things that can happen in it, because they'll all end, right? You need a car, you got a car. Well, when Jesus comes, you're not going to need a car. Okay? Yes, we're thankful for the blessing that God provided when we needed it. But if those kinds of things become what our relationship with the Lord is about, oh, we are aiming so low. We're aiming so low. He has done something where every aspect of what it means to be you can be full. You can be at peace. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. Why? Because the Lord is everything for you. Okay? So that's always there, so it shouldn't be a surprise to you when I say this is actually talking about who God is for you, because he's always been the point. Okay? And last week I said there's a connection between this instruction, watch over your heart, and this passage here where it talks about your struggle is actually not against flesh and blood. Okay? Now, does that mean that there are not flesh and blood struggles? No. But he is telling us what is really at issue is what is behind the scenes there. Okay? People do nasty things. Okay? There are things that are beyond our control. But the instruction from Scripture, here and elsewhere, is do not be distracted as to think it's the things that are happening circumstantially that are the real issue. That your life is the way it is because of what other people did. Okay? Without, again, denying that other people can do things that derail where we were heading. But nothing derails your life like your reaction to it. Because at the end of the day, this is how things work. Okay? Again, if it's a broken record, again, I apologize, and it's a bit of an aside, but I want to say, what God wants for you will not automatically happen. The notion that whatever God wants automatically happens has to be eradicated from our thinking. It is a deceptive, destructive way of thinking. Okay, and we've taken time, again, to emphasize and to elaborate on that, but I will just remind you, remember, Your life is really about a relationship, not about circumstances. And that's why God waits for your part to be played before certain things unfold. Okay? Please, stand against the thought. If God wants blessing in my life, it'll just happen. If God wants that person to be helped, it'll just happen. It won't. He waits for you to get involved. And that is essential that we embrace that. It is essential that we embrace that. So, now going back to Proverbs. So he says, watch over your heart with all diligence. Because let me let you in on something. From it flow the springs of life. This is God giving us, uncovering for us how things really work. Okay? You might be tempted to think that the reason your life is the way it is because of circumstances. Some people are born in rich families. Some people are born in poor families. Some people have good parents. Some people have evil parents. Okay, those are all true statements. But in actual fact, what is going on in your life, what is flowing into it and from it, has everything to do with your heart. So this man, and we know that it's a stand-in for God, talks to his child and says, let me tell you something. More important than everything else is that you watch over your heart. Why? Because your struggle is actually not against flesh and blood things. It is actually with someone who is after afflicting you in your heart in such a way that you make choices that derail your life. So more important than everything else, son, is that you watch over your heart. You watch over your heart. That's what will keep you on track, okay? And I want to talk about that this morning. And I'm not going to take very long. Let me take you again to Ephesians, but this time we're going to go back to chapter 2, okay? And then we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 4, and we'll finish up here. As I said, this is about how to watch over your heart. So let me just state my point from the get-go. One of the first things about watching over your heart that you need to embrace is that this applies to you. Okay? And more than that it applies to you in the sense that you're a human, I mean this. You belong to God. You belong to God. If you have been born again, and by that I mean you have received for yourself what the scriptures reveal about what Jesus did and why, right? That he came and lived a sinless life, and yet he was punished. Why? Because we had punishment due to us, but God wanted to rescue us from it, so he himself came. And everyone who believes in Jesus, their sins are forgiven, they are reconnected to God in the Spirit, and they are alive. That's what we're about to read here, okay? But if that is you, then you need to embrace, I belong to God. I am his, okay? Now, you're looking at me and says, yeah, isn't that obvious kind of thing? But I'd like to point out that the first place we lose track of when it comes to watching over our heart is that we forget, actually, you know what my life is really about? God being happy with my choice. Why? Because I belong to him. One of the first keys to watching over your heart is to have this as your guideline. I want him to be happy with how I react. I want him to be pleased with my response to difficulty, to crazy people, to sickness in my body, to responsibility, to whatever. I want him to be pleased. Why? Because I belong to him. I belong to him. I belong to him. Okay? Ephesians chapter 2, to emphasize the point that we belong to him. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Okay? So, many other places I could go to make this point, that you belong to him. But what I want you to see is, there is a design to your life that involves good works he has prepared for you to walk in beforehand. Right? It's not like, okay, I push reset on your sins, watch your step, off you go. That's not what God has done. This idea of we belong to him is essential. It is essential for many different aspects. Okay? But for the purpose of what we're handling here, it is essential for you staying on track and thereby being someone who can work the will of God. Okay? Again, let me make this point. You belong to God. You belong to him, and he has prepared good works for you to walk in beforehand. They won't happen if you don't. Okay? Now, lest you limit that to good works for somebody else, okay, we know that we are called to be the servants of all, right? It also is talking about good works concerning your life. The things that God wants unfolded in your life. For you to stay on track in the midst of trouble, in the midst of being attacked, being assaulted, being overwhelmed by your failures, whatever it is, for you to stay on track, you're going to have to embrace this. I belong to God, and my guiding principle is I want him pleased with me. I want him pleased with me. Now, please don't misunderstand. Don't swap the idea of him being pleased with you with him loving you. Okay? He loves each one of us, especially the ones who have put their trust in him. He loves them. Okay? That is set. There's nothing you can do to undo that if you have believed in him. Okay? But there is a difference between God loving you and just being delighted over you and you making choices that please him. Okay? This hopefully is particularly obvious to people who have children who are parents. Right? I don't want to speak for every single person, but a healthy parental relationship involves a delight over your children. An absolute delight over them. Okay? And where we drift from that, we need to come back. I'm not trying to criticize anybody, but I'm just saying the way that this is designed is that there is this inbuilt delight over your child that is not connected to how they're performing. Right? I mean, I come from a culture where education is very important, and how you do on your exams is very important. It's highly valued. And school matters. School matters. Like, I'll give you an example. No, that's not a good example. I was going to say, my parents would never take me out of school to go on holiday. Like, what, are you crazy? There's school. You got to be in school. School time is for school, right? So there was no holidays. Like, if there's going to be any holidays, it's going to be outside of school, right? Because why? School matters. And of course, school matters, right? Of course, school matters. But if we're not careful, what can happen is the reason why my child is so delightful to me is because of how well they do at school. And what I boast about my children is how well they've done in school, how well they perform. Again, in my culture, there are jobs and then there are jobs, okay? There are jobs and then there are the holy three, doctor, engineer, lawyer. Okay, those three are above everything else. the people who belong to my culture can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you would agree with me. There are jobs, and then there's the big three, as it were. And it's not hard for people to get caught up in or mistaking what my child has accomplished for the reason why I delight over them. And when we do that, we also set ourselves up for thinking that God delights over me because of what I've done for him, what I've done, what I've performed. And I want us to be more clear-minded about that. God does not delight over you because you made choices that please him. He delights over you because God is love, and you are his child. When we come home and we stand before him and we are allowed to see things as they really are, we probably will find that there are people there who we never expected to be there. And God delights over them, though they spent their whole life rebelling against him. He won't have much to give them in terms of reward, fair enough, but his delight for them is not based on what they did for him. Okay? So please, understand that God delights over you. He delights over you. He just delights over you. But that doesn't mean that what you choose pleases him. And that needs to be our ambition. Watching over your heart has got to do with, okay, or let's put it, how do you watch over your heart? Make sure God is happy with what you choose. Okay, well, what do you mean? Like, that sounds like a big topic. Fair enough. It sounds like a big topic. But let me remind you that the only thing you really are ever responsible for is what you know to do. So when we talk about, well, what do you mean? I gotta choose everything that pleases him? Like, there's so many things in my life I don't even know anything about. Don't be concerned about the stuff you don't know about. Okay? So let me give you an example. You're having a horrible day. I don't know if that happens to anybody. You're having a horrible day. The things you wanted to happen are not happening, and people are not behaving the way that they ought to behave with you, and you're just having a horrible day. Okay? What is the real issue here? The real issue here is getting everybody else to act like the way it's supposed to act so that this kind of nonsense doesn't keep happening, right? No. The real issue here is I watch over my heart. Okay, God, I understand that the real issue here is I got to watch over my heart. What does that mean? Well, Titus said something about I got to make sure that my reaction pleases you. Okay, so what's my reaction supposed to be in this place? How do I please you? Am I supposed to go and fix those people? Like what? You want me to tell them, here's the scripture that you ought to be listening to? What do you want me to do? No, what am I responsible for? In all things, give thanks. Okay, I can start there. Father, I'm having a horrible day, but I want to just say thank you for your mercies to me. I just want to say thank you. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. You put me in places that I could never deserve. Even though I'm facing so much trouble, the reality is you are so much kinder to me than I could ever deserve. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you. Do you see what you're doing? Okay, you don't have a word of prophecy to speak over a situation. Fine. But you have something you could do. And he told you, this pleases me. Really? When did he say that? James. Chapter 1. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So, in the midst of trouble, he tells the child, this is the kind of thing I want you to do in your heart. I want you to consider it all joy. Okay, maybe it's too big a step to say, hallelujah, this is just a marvelous thing that you're going to glorify yourself in. I'm going to consider it glory. Where can you start? On that road to considering it all joy. Well, Father, I'm just going to start with giving you thanks. In all things, give thanks. Why? Because this is God's will. In anything, in anything. So, in watching over your heart, you already got one thing you know will be pleasing to him. This will please him. That in the face of where I could just stew in my complaint, I choose to give thanks. I choose to give thanks. Now, I'm talking about little things, but this actually applies to grand things. What am I supposed to do with my life? Should I keep doing this when it's so much work and doesn't seem to be going anywhere? Well, the thing that matters to me is that God would be pleased with what I choose. Not the easy way out. Not, well, it doesn't seem to be doing anything. And all the reasonings that go through our head about things that we have to deal with. Actually, at the end of the day, Father, what I want is that you would be happy with what I choose. You know, I don't know if it's, I suspect it's true about everybody, but it's certainly true about some people more than others. One of the things that we want is recognition. Oh, you did a great job. You did a great job. For other people to see what it is that we do behind the scenes, as it were. What if nobody sees it? Is it still worth doing? Is it still worth doing? Well, there's always one person who sees. There is always one person who sees. And this is what I mean about your priority, your guiding principle being, I actually want you to be pleased with what I'm choosing to do. I want you to be pleased with how I react to my crazy sister. I want you to be pleased with what I do with my life now. I want you to be pleased with that crazy customer that I got to deal with. I want you to be pleased with. Fill in the gap, right? And there is in that the understanding that sometimes other people don't see it. They don't recognize that this was the right thing to do, that this was a good thing to do. They may not appreciate how they do it, okay? But the point is your thought orients around, but I want you to be pleased. I have the right to lose my temper right now. God said, be angry. But instead of exercising my right, I want you to be pleased with how I deal with this dolt. I want you to be pleased. I want you to be glad about what I chose. And even if I fail in that, that's still my ambition. Right? You understand the difference between something being your ambition and something being what you always accomplish. Right? There's a difference between ambition and accomplishment. You will not accomplish your ambition if you don't take steps, but at the same time, if you don't have that ambition, your accomplishments will not aim in a certain direction. Our ambition is to be pleasing to the Lord. Our ambition, what I really want is that you would be happy with how I react. This is the key to watching over your heart. Watching over your heart is in a context of you being his son. My son. Watch over your heart with all attention, with all diligence. Or my daughter, and you know that means that, right? It's in that context. So watching over your heart is not, you know, I don't know whether anybody's noticed this, but there are people who write books about how to better run businesses and how to become more effective as a leader and all that kind of stuff. And interestingly enough, a lot of times those principles are actually just straight out of the scripture, right? You need to put your employees before yourself. Hello? You know, where did that come from? This kind of way, and they write the books, and you can almost think that they came up with it themselves when actually they're just uncovering things that Proverbs talks about or the scriptures talk about, oftentimes. Okay? So, you know, I don't know, the 15,000 Habits of Successful People, you start reading it, and you begin to think that this is all about how you can make your life work better, okay? But it actually is getting the horse in front of the cart. No, the cart in front of the horse, right? Let this be your ambition. I want him pleased. And let everything else that you choose to do follow that horse. then everything in your life will work. Everything. Even the times when it doesn't look like it's working. Like, you know, those guys or those ladies who got martyred, okay, they're following the Lord, and here's their reward, they get to die. How did that work out for them? How does that work? What do you mean? They didn't get to have kids. They didn't get to have X, Y, Z. They didn't get to have all the things that I... Even in situations that it doesn't look like it worked out for them, God knows what's going on, right? It speaks of people who give their life in devotion to the Lord in a different way than it speaks of people who just, they get to the end of their lives and they finish their times. God is not ignorant of these things. He's not ignorant of the choices that we make. So have this as your ambition. If nobody else recognizes it, it's not a problem. Have this as your ambition if you want to watch over your heart. Watching over my heart means God is happy with what I choose. He loves me anyway. Okay? If I choose stupid things, he still loves me. Okay? And again, if you're a parent, I think you can relate to this. Especially if you're a parent of a teenager. They might choose things that you think, this is ridiculous. Do not do this. Do not do this. And they do it anyway. A parent that's been affected by the Lord will still delight over their child without necessarily approving of what the child chose. Okay? So delight is not the issue. God loves you. But he wants the best for you. Not just the best that you think you could have. He wants this perfect work that he has prepared for you. He wants your life to be filled, as we prayed from Psalm 23. He wants that for you. So he says, watch over your heart. Because you may not understand this, but so much of what happens in your life hinges on your choice, child. So let me tell you how to keep on track. Watch over your heart. See to it that this is your ambition. I want God to be pleased. Even if you do terrible at it at the beginning, if that's your ambition, step by step by step. Let me tie it all together with a different way. If that is your ambition, step by step by step, you will grieve him less and quench him less. And if Holy Spirit is not grieved and not quenched, watch out. There is not a thing that is against you that is a match. There's not a thing that wants to hold you back that is a match. As long as he is not grieved or quenched. So, I hope, may the Holy Spirit tie all of these things together for you to see the precious value of God saying to you, have this as your ambition. Be pleasing to him. Learn what is it that he likes. Why should you bless this dolt of an employee or employer that you have? Why should you bless them? Well, like, how does that make sense? God, this person is being mean to me, so I want you to do good things for them. What? How does that work? I'm still having mean things done to me. Welcome to the adventure of coming to find out what God is like. He has a way of getting you good things, even if somebody else gets blessed. Let him take care of the stuff that you cannot take care of. Right? I know, I have heard stories where somebody is toiling away in some difficult circumstance, and it's difficult because of the person who they're working for, and they begin to bless the person, and the person gets so blessed, that person moves to a different job, and now they're set free. Okay, as a sort of very simple case and example, leave the complexities of how your life is to unfold in his hand. You get caught up with, today, I want you to be pleased with how I react. So you find yourself in that, everything is going terrible. And the Holy Spirit has the moment to remind you, okay, but make sure that God is pleased with what you are choosing here. Okay. And Father, I just want to give you thanks. I want to just give you thanks for your kindnesses to me, to your mercies to me. I want to give you thanks that you grant me privileges that I just don't have the right to. I could never have earned these things. I want to give you thanks that in the midst of this trouble, you have something whereby you will bring good things into my life and through my life. I just bless your name. I just bless your name. What are you doing? You're watching over your heart. Guided by the thought, I want you to be pleased by how I react. Amen? I hope it's also clear that this is practical in the sense of, okay, so let's say you didn't watch over your heart and you find yourself now in that trouble. Okay, well, right there, as soon as you realize it, watch over your heart. Let's get back on track. Let's get back on track. Father, in the name of Jesus, again, I ask you, whatever is not of you, blow it away. But what is of you is precious. I just ask you in Jesus' name, capture us with these things. I ask you to do such a work among us, whether we are a small number or a large number, I ask you to do such a work among us that you are delighted, that you are pleased with our choices, so that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would come, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you...